hope you have opened to that passage, the book of Obadiah. Book of Obadiah. Now, the meaning of Obadiah is simply one who serves. One who serves. The book is divided into two parts. You can divide a lot more, but there are two general parts of the book. So the first part is basically about judgment. God will judge his enemies, right? God will judge the unrepentant. God will judge those who do not accept Christ. God will judge those who reject Christ. So that's what we are going to look at this morning. But there is a second part of the book, and that is for this evening, that God is with his people. Those that are the people of God, the Lord is always with them. And we're going to see that in this very book, from verse 17 to verse 21, you know, this evening. So the first thing then this morning is concerning judgment for the enemies of God. Now, who is an enemy of God? Anyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ is an enemy of God. If you have not come to the point where you accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, who became flesh, according to John, and lived amongst us, and is the one who was persecuted, he was ill-treated, he suffered, he was crucified, and he died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. Now there are millions and millions of people who don't accept this, that Jesus is the Son of God, was sent to save mankind. Now if you belong to that group, expect judgment to come. Those who reject Christ as the Savior, they will be judged. There's no other way. And those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not be judged, because they have passed from death to life already. But for those who have not become Christians, if you are not a Christian today in this hall, you need to think seriously about your destiny. Because if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment is going to come. Now, this is illustrated by talking about the Edomites. Now, who are the Edomites? Just reading about the Edomites, I came across this information that Herod the Great is said to be the last known Edomite. The Edomites have been wiped out from the face of the earth. How can God be so cruel, you ask? How can he get rid of all the Edomites? This is what people say. I mean, there's no way God is going to judge me as a sinner. And God can't be that cruel, as it were. But you know, what the Bible says, it will always be true. See, who are the Edomites? Now, you need to go back and sort of revise the story of Jacob and Esau. Right? He was the firstborn Esau who sold his birthright by just a meal. And the descendants of Esau are known as the Edomites. Yes, we know that he sold his birthright, and so Jacob is the one who was blessed. But at the same time, we are aware that God had ordained in the time past that Jacob was the chosen one. Election and predestination. I know it's a difficult subject, but we can't run away from it. Romans chapter 9. Could you turn with me to Romans chapter 9? And verse 10. Please keep the Obadiah, because that's where we are. We're just referring to these verses, you know, very briefly. Romans chapter 9 and verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children, not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall save the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. There you have the doctrine of election. But at the same time, you see that Esau was fully responsible for what he did. Just like Judas, you know, for betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. He was fully responsible for what he did. But at the same time, Christ had to be betrayed, you know, for the salvation plan to work. And yet, at the same time, you know, Judah was responsible for what he did. And in the same way, you have Esau here for rejecting his fact that he was a firstborn. You know, he was the one who was supposed to inherit everything. And yet, for just a meal, he sold his birthright. But at the same time, we see that this was not a surprise to God, because God had chosen, you know, Jacob. Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. So in Obadiah, we are in the minor prophets. Minor, not in the sense that they are of little value, but rather the content is not the same as Jeremiah, you know, and Isaiah. But the message of these minor prophets are just as important. And so Obadiah is a minor prophet. After the fall of Jerusalem, you know, to Babylon, before the destruction of Edom. If you look at verse 11, in the days that you have stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captives his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. What the Edomites were doing is, instead of helping, you know, the southern kingdom, you know, Judah, you know, the Israelites, when the Babylonians were coming, the Edomites were basically like helping the Babylonians to be able to capture, you know, Judah. They are supposed to have come from the same background, but they were working with the enemies, you know, of God. A number of things I want us to think about this morning concerning, you know, this book of Obadiah. So the Lord reveals, first thing I want you to take note of is that here is something that the Lord reveals through the prophet Obadiah. And that is a prophetic revelation from God through prophet Obadiah. Obadiah was a prophet, and a prophet spoke only what God had given him. He didn't have his own, you know, message. He only had a message that came from the Lord. And any prophet that speaks for himself and doesn't have a message from God is a false prophet. But this one was a true prophet. The revelation came from God. And the revelation is clearly stated, you know, in verses 2 to 9. You know, first the revelation you see is in verse 1. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. Right? That's what the Lord says. That's the revelation that is coming from God. This is not just a message from Obadiah. This is a message that comes from God. The judgment of Edom was a message from the Lord. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, say, arise, and let us rise against her, you know, for battle. And it is concerning Edom. The message is concerning Edom. And he's basically saying, in verses 2 to 9, the enemies of God will be judged. The Edomites are going to be judged. Why are they going to be judged? Well, look at verse 3. The pride of your hearts has deceived you. Right? Because of their pride, God was going to judge, you know, them. My friends, if you are proud, you don't accept that Christ is the Savior, you will be judged. Because of their pride, they were going to be judged. And then there was the issue of their wealth. They were wealth plunderers, as it were. You know, it says in verse 5, if thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, or how you would be cut off, would they not have stolen till they had enough? The great gatherers had come to you. Would they not have left something, some gleanings? Oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasures shall be sought after. They were, you know, gatherers of wealth. They were people that were making sure they have this, they have the other. And in the process, they had nothing to do with God. And you know, if we spend all our time trying to be wealthy, trying to make money, and have nothing to do with Christ, then we are in danger of getting judged. And then working with evil men, in verse 7, it says, all men in your confidentiary shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware. There was this alliance with Babylon. When you work together with the non-believers to discredit the church, to discredit the Lord Jesus Christ, you are working against the Lord, and judgment will come. There are people who think they are very wise. Look at verse 8. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom? Here were the Edomites who thought they were very, very wise as well. But because they were enemies of God, judgment was going to come. Judgment for those who are proud. Judgment for those who are wealth plunderers. Judgment for those who align with themselves with the evil men of this world. Judgment for those who are sort of what worldly wisdom, as it were, where they will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. This is what characterized the Edomites. They had nothing to do with God. They had nothing to do with Jacob and the Israelites and the children of Israel, Judah, nothing. All they wanted is to make sure the people of God suffer. They wanted Judah, you know, to suffer. And they were very proud in their ways. And the Lord says, I will judge you. So the vision of Obadiah is that those who are proud will be judged. Those who are just pursuing wealth in the world and nothing about God, they will be judged. Those who are in alliance with an unbeliever in persecuting the people of God, they will be judged. Those who don't have God's wisdom, but they are only using their own wisdom, they are, you know, going to be judged. And that is what these people were like. And we need to look at our world today and examine how we are. If you look at the media today, anything Christian, they say, privatize it. It has nothing to do with it. We are wiser than the Bible. You know, people are doing that. We are wiser than the Bible. Though the Bible, you know, discriminates the Bible, this and this. There are all sorts of attacks on the Word of God. Are they wiser than the Word of God? There are people in this world, they won't sleep. They are millionaires, but at the same time they want to have more money. They'll spend sleepless nights planning more money, more money, more money. And they have no time for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have countries in this world where Christians are basically persecuted terribly. Churches are burnt. There are people who just attack the Christian church. People are running, they're living, you know, in the bush because of persecution. You find Christians are gathered, you know, somebody comes and puts, you know, fire to their building. Now, if you wait with a people like that, judgment is definitely going to come. Judgment is coming to those who are in alliance with the non-believers. Oh, that we may watch out, you know, against this kind of character. Look at verse 10. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you. So the reasons for Edomite's destruction, the Edom's destruction, there was violence against Jacob. You know, the Edomites were helping the Babylonians against the people of God. They rejoiced in the destruction of Judah. They actually took part in the looting in Jerusalem. They had no mercy for Jerusalem. They added suffering to the people of God. This is what is being described here. That whole section, if you read that carefully, verses 10 to verse 14. Violence against your brother Jacob. Shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried their captives and forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you should not have gazed, you know, on the day of your brother, the day of captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid your hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. This is the Edomites helping Babylon to make sure Judah suffers, to make sure the people of God suffer. And that is what Obadiah is bringing to the people of Edom. Here is a prophecy to the non-Christian. You know, what he's saying here is directed at Edom. This is what you are doing against the people of God. But you know, even today, there are people who are hostile to God's people. They are mistreating the people that are made in the image of God. You have some governments in this world where they make their own people suffer. Right? They make their own people suffer. People don't have the benefits of belonging to a nation. And all you have is one or two in power who are the ones who are rich. There are some people in this world who are richer than their own countries. They have no care for the widow, for the orphan. They amass all the wealth, you know, for themselves, and they don't care for their citizens at all, mistreating people made in the image of God. And then there are others, of course, that are mentioned who are persecuting the believers. You know, so while you have some who are not helping the needy believers, there are others who are actually persecuting the believer. Are we identifying with God's people? Now, you might say, oh, yes, 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 we are. Now, may I ask you to think a little bit more? You know, I don't know how many of you read the Barnabas magazine of highlighting the way the Christians are suffering in the world today. Right? So privileged, you know, in the UK, that there are countries where Christians can't own their own land. Christians can't stay in their own houses. They can't grow their own crops. Simply because they are people of God. When we see these disasters happening amongst the believers, do we pray for them? Do we find ways and means of how we can help the people of God who are scattered as a result of where they are? You know, God hates evil, but evil is going on against the people of God everywhere. And that we need to make sure that we identify with the people of God. And so that they are helped in whatever way it might be. Sometimes we may have the resources that can help, you know, a believer who has been, you know, locked up. His family can't buy food, and because he's been locked up for preaching the gospel. Do we actually pay attention to people like that? Do we identify with the people of God? The Edomites were helping the Babylonians to make sure the people of God suffer. And we need to stand up and be helpful to the people of God. I mentioned here that the Edomites were very proud, and they were wealth gatherers, and they were in alliance with the Babylonians, and had worldly wisdom. But you know, the key to salvation is in Philippians 2 verse 5. I'd like us to turn to that one. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Where the Bible reads, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For you and me to admit that we are sinners, it requires humility. For us to admit that we cannot save ourselves, it requires, you know, humility. To admit that the only one who can change our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ, it requires, you know, humility. And the people that are proud will never enter the kingdom of God. And the humility that we have been given, I mean, that we have been asked about, cannot compare to the humility that we read about in Philippians 2, verse 5. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is eternally God, you know, in the beginning was God in Genesis chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. When you come to John chapter 1, verse 1, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal, you know, with God. He's there at the beginning. He is the Almighty God, and yet he comes and is born in this flesh, the body that was restricted, you know, to the land of Palestine. Born in the likeness of men, where he could get tired, he could get hungry, he could sleep, as it were. Can God get tired? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ took on that nature. He humbled himself to be in the likeness of men, so that he can deal with our sins, you know, once and for all, identifying, you know, with us. The proud in this world will be judged. What the Bible has said will always take place. But those that are humble, God will welcome. It doesn't matter how much sin they have been caught up in, as long as they humble themselves and come to the Lord will welcome them. But repentance must take place before we die. There is no repentance once we have died. It is now while we are still alive that we can be able to come to the Lord and say, Lord, come and change me. I cannot change myself. Only you can change me. Let us look at the humility of Christ. It was great humility compared to us accepting him as our Savior. His humility was being sent from the eternal, you know, God to come and be in the likeness of men, and then dying on the cross, the death of a criminal. That is humility. We need to respond to that and accept Christ as our Savior. Not only accept him as our Savior, but accept his word. You know, the Bible says we deceive ourselves if we just hear nice sermons and so on and don't do anything about it. You know, we hear the word of God preached and we don't do anything about it. We deceive ourselves. You know, the book of James makes it very clear that there are two ways to live. There's the way of obeying the scriptures, and there's the way of just knowing what the scriptures say and doing nothing about it. And he gives an example of looking in a mirror. You see, you need to do something to your face, but you don't do anything about it. And that's the same thing like hearing the word of God, that we need to be humble, and we don't do anything about it. We know that the scriptures wants us to live in a certain way. And as the children of God, we are commanded to share the gospel with someone else. Yes, we can hear that, but we don't want to do anything about it. Be hearers only and not applying it. You know, evangelism is not just gathering a number of people there. It's on an individual basis. You can tell someone about Christ on your own, wherever you are. There's no need to wait for a group or for leaders. Every one of us who are in Christ can share Christ with others. And we know that fact. But you know, it's pointless just knowing the fact and not doing anything about it. It's like looking in a mirror and you see that you have some dirt on your face and doing nothing about it. So go therefore, make disciples of all nations. It is a command to every believer. It's not only evangelism. It is living according to what the Bible says. You know, like for example, look at the commandments. You know, the first five, towards God. Right? The other five, towards, you know, other people. How do we relate to God? And how do we relate to one another? You know, love the Lord your God. And love your neighbor as yourself. Do we apply these verses? If we are humble, we'll be able to do this and apply the scriptures so that day by day we are controlled and led by what the scriptures say. What does the Bible say about this matter? And that is what we're going to do. But if we are proud, we'll just use our own opinions. Sometimes even in church meetings, there are a lot of personal opinions instead of what does the Bible say. What we see in the book of Obadiah this morning is the fact that judgment is going to come on those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be proud and just making themselves rich and working with the non-believers and using their own wisdom. Judgment is going to come. But for those who humble themselves and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility, the judgment will not come. In fact, the Lord says, I will be with you. And that is what we want to look at, you know, tonight. Let's pray together.